USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The 45th annual March for Life, the largest annual pro-life event in the world, is about to get underway in Washington. Held each year on the anniversary of the Roe v. Wade ruling, which legalized abortion, Dr. Russell Moore of the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission says of the annual event's long history,
if you'd gone back in a time machine to 1973 and said, what would the pro-life movement look like in 2018? I think most people would have said, well, there will be no pro-life movement. The country will have just moved on. And yet the March for Life, seeing masses of people gathering here, including very young people.
Moore speaks on Fox News. President Trump will speak to the rally live via satellite feed from the White House. A government shutdown looking more and more likely at midnight tonight when the government runs out of money without action by lawmakers and a short-term spending extension is stuck in the Senate. This is USA Radio News.
I'm Nick Sobolewski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I shopped the many highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $27 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-860-6565. That's 800-860-6565, 800-860-6565, or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
And I was very scared.
Saying the Me Too movement has encouraged her to come forward, author and journalist Susan Brody is now accusing actor Michael Douglas of sexual misconduct. Among her allegations, she says she was humiliated during a particular incident involving Douglas in the late 1980s when she worked for a company he'd founded.
He thought he was the king of the world and that he could humiliate me without any repercussions.
Brody speaking there on the Today Show on NBC this morning. Douglas has denied most of her allegations, saying only he may have used some coarse language in front of her. The White House speeding things up when it comes to opening a new embassy in Jerusalem, moving it there from Tel Aviv. Yesterday, a decision was made at a White House meeting not to build a new building to house the embassy, but to rather put it in a building that's already there. As a result, it's now expected to open next year, rather than the originally expected 3 years from now. And this is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root. I'm a father of four, and I worry every day about this dangerous world. There are so many things that could go wrong. Economic collapse, stock market crash, terrorist attack, war with North Korea. There's a lot to worry about when it comes to protecting your income, assets, and your family's future. Thankfully, my good friends at Tangible Investments are your safe haven from the storm. Call now and Tangible Investments will send you, absolutely free, a 1 ounce American Silver Eagle along with your guide for investing in precious metals. To receive your free American Silver Eagle, call toll-free 800-780-9000. That's 800-780-9000.
Former FBI Director James Comey landing a teaching gig at his alma mater, William & Mary, in Virginia. He'll join the ranks of the school's teaching faculty this fall with a course he'll teach on ethical leadership. That, according to the Washington Post, that says Comey's accepted a non-tenured position as an executive professor in education with that school, teaching that course during the fall of 2018 into spring of 2019 and the summer of 2019 as well as it stands now. Comey has already taught a series of lectures since last fall at the historically black college Howard University in Washington, where his initial reception brought some student protests. Portions of that meteor that crossed over Michigan and other states on Tuesday night found on a frozen lake in that state yesterday, a discovery made near Hamburg by Larry Atkins and two others working with him from the American Meteor Society. Atkins lives in Michigan and told ABC 7 in Chicago he normally goes out west to hunt for such things.
I always thought, man, wouldn't it be great if we get a fall out in Michigan? Like, this thing's like an hour from my house.
And the impact of the meteor caused the equivalent of a magnitude 2.0 earthquake. And the worst of the freezing temps that hit the deep south a few days ago have eased, but many down there are still dealing with the aftermath. There were at least 12 deaths blamed on the storm system, and some roadways, even some of the major roads, have snow and ice cover still. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Greetings, couch potatoes across the country and around the world on the radio and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. On today's show, I'm going to be talking about the new film, The Post, which has been out in limited release, but is now hitting nationwide this weekend. I'm also going to be talking about Paddington 2, In the Commuter, and Proud Mary, which are the new movies out this weekend. Guess which one is probably terrible because it wasn't screened. I'm also going to be talking about some news, The Trailer Park, Box Office, and the Home Cinema Roundup featuring It. But first, if you want to get in touch with me, you can email me at fatguys@fatguysatthemovies.com. You can leave me a voicemail at 740-205-6456. That's 740-205-6456. You can find me on the internet at fatguysatthemovies.com or facebook.com/fatguysatthemovies. And if you want to reach out to me on Twitter, I'm at twitter.com/KevinCarr.
Good evening. I'm Ron Burgundy, and this is what's happening in your world tonight.
The big news that actually started the week was the Golden Globes. Of course, that was Sunday night, last weekend. And these things always make a little bit of news, simply because they're seen as a precursor to the Oscars, partly. But what it ends up making news more for are the celebrities unplugged. This is the award show where the celebrities sit at tables and drink heavily before they give their acceptance speeches. So you sometimes get some unhinged stuff. I remember like Emma Thompson went up there once and she wasn't wearing her shoes and she sort of blah, 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 splatting through her dialogue. And of course, you had Ricky Gervais several years ago hosting it. People are going, what's he going to say? Is he going to say something terrible? Last year, you had Meryl Streep giving a scathing speech directed at President Trump, but of course didn't name him by name. And these are points where you have movies and politics collide spectacularly, and I end up having to comment on it. Well, this time, in terms of like just the, sort of like the run-of-the-mill stuff, the winners, I think the biggest surprise was that there's no big front-runner. You know, every year there seems to be a movie that just is gobbling up all the awards and is likely going to win everything. You really didn't have that this year. You have two or three movies that are doing well. And in this case, you had Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri win Best Picture for drama, which is always what's considered the comparison to Best Picture, never the comedies or musicals, usually. And that won Best Drama. And, of course, Frances McDormand won. And so you had a lot of wins in that category. And then people, of course, were losing their mind over the fact that Greta Gerwig wasn't winning and Jordan Peele wasn't winning because those were the socially relevant filmmakers that were really getting some news. But then Three Billboards got a backlash. I don't know why. Apparently there was a film Twitter backlash against Three Billboards. I really don't care. But the big news was, of course, Oprah giving her speech for the Cecil B. DeMille Lifetime Achievement Award. And a lot of people right afterwards were like, this sounds, because she, of course, attacked Trump too, you know, sort of without naming him, kind of in the way Meryl Streep did. And people are like, oh, is Oprah going to run in 2020? Which, of course, caused a lot of people to say, okay, let's dial it back on TV celebrity presidents. You know, we've got one already. Is this a good choice? And look, I would say, you know, you can't exactly criticize Oprah for being a billionaire business person with a TV background if you, of course, support another president who's a billionaire business person with a TV background. I think that there was a backlash more, not to Oprah necessarily, but this is a backlash to the outsiders element. look, you know, even when Reagan ran, at least Reagan was governor first. You know, Reagan has his critics, and he was a very presidential president. But he also went into politics and had a political career before he became president. And I think that's what people are, you know, why do we need Dwayne Johnson being president or Oprah Winfrey being president? That's, I think, what people are reacting to. And I think that's a completely valid point, especially if you want to criticize the current administration for that very thing. The other pieces of news, there's one little piece of news about Mark Wahlberg. He's getting a lot of flack because when they were doing the All the Money in the World reshoots, it was found out that he made more money in the reshoots than Michelle Williams did. And, of course, everyone's like, oh, sexism, blah, blah, blah. Well, there's a reason for this. First of all, Mark Wahlberg has headlined movies with his name. I really don't think Michelle Williams has. And when she has, they've been movies like My Week with Marilyn, which is an art house film. Nobody is out there saying, I can't wait for the next Michelle Williams movie. She has fans, but I really don't think she has fans with disposable dollars. Mark Wahlberg does. You make an Entourage movie that he's associated with, even though he just had a small part in. You throw him in Daddy's Home. You throw him in the Transformers movies, as much as I hate those films. He's a bona fide movie star. I still question whether Michelle Williams is. Generally, they pay people what they're worth budget-wise. Which is why, you know, somebody like Gal Gadot can now command a huge salary and can arguably command a salary bigger than Henry Cavill as Superman, because I think there's more people seeing Justice League for her than they were for seeing Henry Cavill. But, you know, this is not sexism. This is just business in the works. Another thing that's hitting the news, and this is a good old-fashioned sexual misconduct coming back again. James Franco has been accused of, and I just see it's sexual misconduct now. Now people are just saying it's sexual misconduct, throwing everything under that umbrella, and they're not even explaining what it is. We're getting to the stage where people are just going to deny everything. Now, I mean, James Franco's just denying what's happening. He's like, this didn't happen. And unless you can have a lot of corroborating evidence, stuff that's been vetted and researched and sourced, like the stuff that went on with Harvey Weinstein, it's going to be meaningless. And that's why this Me Too movement of just accusing people is ultimately shooting itself in the foot. So, like, the days of saying apologize and admit and then, you know, do the right thing, which is what Louis C.K. did, that guy lost his career over it. We're starting to see the teeth to this start to decay. And that's a shame, because there are people that are victims that are not going to be taken seriously. Listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. That sound means it's time to roll into the trailer park. The first one I want to talk about is Red Sparrow. Opens on March 2nd.
From this day forward, you will become sparrows. Weapons in a global struggle for power. You'll be trained in psychological manipulation. You must learn to push yourself beyond all limitation. Take off your clothes. When we are finished with you, the person you were will no longer exist. Every human being is a puzzle of need. You must become the missing piece, and they will tell you anything.
First of all, this is directed by Francis Lawrence, and it stars Jennifer Lawrence. I don't know if they can make a movie that doesn't involve a bird in some way, because, of course, they did the Hunger Games movies with Mockingjay and all that kind of thing. But this is, a Cold War thriller. It actually looks kind of interesting. Looks like it's kind of spinning a bit off of that Atomic Blonde concept of, you know, the hard-hitting Cold War-esque story of a Russian operative. I'm looking forward to it simply because I like Jennifer Lawrence. I think this is a different role for her to play. She plays a variety of roles, but I think this is somewhat different of her in terms of, you know, the cold, hard-hearted person, as opposed to somebody who's a lot more sympathetic. So we'll see if she can carry that off. The next one I want to talk about really quickly is Teen Titans Go to the Movies.
It's the superhero movie to end all superhero movies.
He farted.
That wasn't a fart. That was just air leaving my butt.
Which is a fart.
Teen Titans Go to the Movies. Because if Aquaman can get a movie, anyone can.
This is, of course, a film adaptation of the Teen Titans Go TV show. And, of course, that's on the Cartoon Network, so it's whimsical. It's an animated movie, so they're not, like, doing any sort of live act. This is not a new Christopher Nolan Batman movie at all. It's got a fart in the trailer. So that's the audience it's going for. It looks kind of funny and silly. It looks like it's going for sort of that Captain Underpants crowd or anyone who's going to be watching Teen Titans on the Cartoon Network, as opposed to people who are watching superhero movies on the CW. And that's, I think, the target market it's going for. Looks cute. I'm sure I'm going to be taking my son to this one in the summer. And that is it for this segment. I need to go to a break. When I come back, I'm going to be talking about Paddington 2 and Proud Mary.
And the Magnificent!
Happier. Her fur is so much shinier, silkier, softer. She has really mellowed a lot.
Sheba is 105 lean pounds of shiny, smooth, happy dog for life.
The shedding has stopped. The itching has stopped.
Since 2001, we've helped more than 250,000 dogs get over their nutritional deficiency miseries.
And saved our customers bazillions in vet bills.
Everything we tried failed except the Dynavite.
Come to Dynavite for help.
Dinovite .com.
If you want the dog to be healthy, you got to feed it something healthy.
The omega-3 fatty acids,
flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa,
the digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
Dynavite is nutrition.
Dynavite for life.
Don't let your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy.
Come to Dynavite for help.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
Dinovite.com.
This is a special alert to consumers who owe back taxes to the IRS.
Due to the financial hardship consumers are facing during the decline in the U.S. economy, the Internal Revenue Service has made it easier to settle tax problems. An open phone line has been established by National Tax Relief. Grab a pen or put this number in your cell phone, but call 1-800-210-0311 today. That's 1-800-210-0311. When you call, you'll get information and see if you qualify. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and can't afford to pay them back, there's no need to fear anymore. You may qualify for a program that could settle your tax problems and save you money. For free information and to see if you qualify, call National Tax Relief today at 1-800-210-0311. That's 1-800-210-0311. 1-800-210-0311.
Join us for a fun-filled evening at the Hunterdon County Crime Stoppers annual fundraiser, Thursday, November 16th, 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. at Lone Eagle Brewing, 44 Stangle Road, Flemington. Craft beer tasting, great food, door prizes, live music, and a 50-50 raffle. Tickets are $50 each, and sponsorship advertising opportunities are available. Please visit www.crimestoppershunterdon.com or call 908-437-0126. We'll have a barrel of fun.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Hi, I'm Sharon Skibbe of CompuPay Payroll.
The Chamber is a great way to connect to other businesses within Hunterdon County and build strong and lasting business relationships.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Let's talk about some movie reviews. The first one I want to hit is Paddington 2. Everybody's favorite British bear gets framed for a crime and ends up in jail, requiring him to escape so he can buy his aunt a perfect birthday present.
Dear Aunt Lucy, you sent me to London to find a home. I have a wonderful family. Mr. Gruber!
Come in!
I'd like to get my Aunt Lucy a birthday present. What's this?
This popping book is the only one of its kind, and they want a lot of money for it.
I'm going to get a job and buy that book.
Stop! Thief!
Cheerio.
Where did he go?
Hold it right there.
Oh, but I'm not the thief.
I remember it was like 2 or 3 years ago that the first Paddington came out. It came out right at this time of year. I think this is actually technically... from a British perspective, it's a 2017 movie, but it didn't open internationally until 2018. So we across the pond here are going to be considering it a 2018 release. But I remember the first Paddington, which was released by the Weinstein Companies. Don't say that to anybody. But that one came out, I think, 3 years ago. The press screening for it, for the first one, was like December 19th. It was like right before Christmas, and I was the only press member there. And I remember I sat there and I watched it in a theater all by myself. I loved every minute of it. I thought it was a charming, sweet, wonderful movie that completely captured the authentic sweetness of Paddington Bear. It also captured very British elements like Paddington Station, London, and all the stuff that you'd expect. So I went and I got fish and chips afterwards. I had a very British day that day. Well, now we've got the sequel. And I was a little worried about the sequel because whenever you have something that's such a surprise and something that's so charming, it makes you wonder if they're going to be able to recreate London in a bottle. And so I went to this one a little more trepidatious. And I brought my son, who's 9. We went to go see it. They had an evening screening, so I wasn't seeing this alone this time. And you know what? This movie is just as charming and adorable and lovable and sweet and clever and British as the first one is. Now, I say it's British, and that's not an insult at all. That's just a reality that it's a very British movie. It's about an authentically British character, a creation, Paddington Bear, who was named for Paddington Station, which is in London. And I remember reading the books as a kid. I don't remember much about the books, but I do remember reading them and thinking they were very sweet and charming then. Of course, he's got this little rain slicker, and he's got this red hat. And Paddington has these little sweet adventures where no really dangerous things happen. Of course, in this one, you get a little bit of peril because, like in the first one, you got to have something cinematic there. And, of course, the bad guy in this one is played by Hugh Grant, he steals a book that Paddington wants to buy his aunt. And then he frames Paddington for the crime, and Paddington goes to jail. But, I mean, it's not like HBO jail. This is very sweet, cute, lovable jail. There's no graphic scenes or anything like that. So just because he's in jail doesn't mean that. It's not Shawshank Redemption or anything like that. But it's charming because you see all these different characters. If you've ever watched the Harry Potter movies or you watch Doctor Who or you're a big Edgar Wright fan or you just watch a lot of BBC, you see so many familiar faces in this. Peter Capaldi's in it. He was the most recent Doctor Who before Jodie Whittaker had 20 seconds on screen at Christmas. For the new Doctor Who. You also have people like Sally Hawkins. Sally Hawkins, who's in The Shape of Water right now. This is a movie. It has a big train sequence. You could either go see The Commuter or you could go see this. It has a scene where Sally Hawkins is underwater. You can either watch that or you can go see The Shape of Water. Those are maybe grown-up movies. This is more for the kids. So if you want to see trains and Sally Hawkins underwater, but you don't want to deal with awkward moments on the ride home with the kids, take them to see Paddington 2. It's just charming. There's no other way to describe it than charming. It's like seeing Colin Firth reciting Shakespeare to pigeons in Trafalgar Square. You don't get much more British than that. And it also would be very charming to watch that. And this film is, it's a lighthearted, sweet rom. Now, one of the things I tweeted this out. I inadvertently stumbled on a great recipe, and I'm going to give it to you guys here. Now, in the story of Paddington Bear, they all love marmalade. All the bears make marmalade, orange marmalade in particular, and they eat it on, like, wheat bread. And so on my way home with my son, I said, hey, let's go get some marmalade and wheat bread. My son had never had orange marmalade, so we got it. We got Smuckers, because we don't have bears making that in this country. And we got, like, this nice oat seed bread that was, you know, nice whole grain bread. And we put it on there, and he had never had, and through an unrelated event, we were also talking about Payday candy bars, and he had never had a Payday. So we also got Payday, and we tried those, and he, of course, loved it, because Paydays are great. And so what I did is I took the bread, then I spread orange marmalade all over it, and then I took the Payday candy bar and put it in there and wrapped the bread around it like a taco. So the marmalade sticks to the peanuts on the Payday candy bar. Holy cat, that is very delicious. You should try it. Just go get, I mean, for less than $10, you can get a real nice loaf of bread, a jar of Smucker's orange marmalade, and a Payday candy bar. Try that at home. You will not be disappointed. But that's neither here nor there when it comes to Paddington 2. That's a movie you're also not going to be disappointed with. Sweet, charming, British, wonderful. It totally rocks.
It rocks.
Excellent!
You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Let's talk a little bit about Proud Mary. A successful hit woman leaves a boy orphaned and must contend with the consequences, I think.
You got?
Not exactly.
Who the hell are you?
I'm Mary.
I was unsure about the plot of this movie because Sony has done everything in its power to hide this movie from critics. Apparently, not only were there no critic screenings anywhere on the planet, they had a junket for this movie. They didn't even show the movie to journalists at the junket. So when they went to go talk to Taraji P. Henson, who stars in this, they had asked the most vague questions imaginable because, and there's one trailer for this, and that is it. I mean, and even in my hometown of Columbus, Ohio, usually if there's a movie that's going to be opening early, everything, they get early screenings. Now you see, like Paddington 2, I think there were 5 o'clock showings on Thursday night for that. So if you wanted to see it that early, if you're that big of a rabid Paddington Bear fan, you could have gone at 5 o'clock on Thursday. You couldn't do that for Proud Mary. They had no screenings in the central Ohio area. Arguably, I don't think anywhere in Ohio. They didn't have any screenings on Thursday night. They did not want people, usually when they do that, they don't want people seeing it. There's only two reasons they don't do Thursday night screenings. And I mean showings, like you can pay to go see. The first is if it's a kids movie and they don't think they're going to get any traction. Fox will often do that. I remember the Peanuts movie, they didn't do a Thursday night shows. But that didn't bode poorly for the Peanuts movie. It's just that they're like, well, because they did screen that one. They were just like, well, that's not, the audience isn't going to be out there that late. The other reason is that they want to hide it. If they're not letting movie theaters show it on Thursday night, that means they're hiding something. And I'm assuming they're definitely hiding stuff for Proud Mary. Because it looks like it could be interesting, but there's nothing to it. So, you know, sorry, Taraji P. Henson. I kind of wanted to see this movie, but I wasn't even allowed to pay for it. So it's got to suck.
It sucks.
That's it for this segment. I got to go to a break. When I come back, I'm going to be talking about The Post and The Commuter.
Let the midnight special shine a light on me.
Mike Hewitt here. We're all searching for answers, and there are great search engines on the internet capable of delivering a wealth of data in just a few clicks. Technology seems to have placed worlds of information before us. A virtual high-tech library of Alexandria is now at our fingertips. But what if the answers provided are agenda-driven rather than unbiased facts? Are we finding the truth on a sea of knowledge or being fooled, lulled, and steered to predetermined destinations? Are the great search engines as benign as a government or company vehicle that reports your every move? It's true we're a changing society. It's just as true that the sea of information is a significant driving force in that change. Think about it for a minute. Folks no longer need to actually understand a topic. They can grab a quick answer and move on. But is that answer the answer? If knowing is important, and it is, common sense agrees with Ronald Reagan. Trust but verify. For more common sense, visit themikehewittshow.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The largest annual pro-life event in the world has begun in Washington. The 45th annual March for Life, held each year on the anniversary of the Roe v. Wade ruling, which legalized abortion.
I stand with those who choose to be a voice for the voiceless. Love saves lives.
That's Republican Congressman Tom Graves of Georgia in a video he posts online saluting those taking part in this year's event. President Trump will address the rally, although he'll speak from the White House via a satellite feed. At the White House, President Trump's top aides are discussing the possibility of a government shutdown tonight.
The reality is that this is not about policy, it's about politics.
Legislative Affairs Director Mark Short at a briefing a short time ago. A short-term spending bill passed by the House is in the Senate, but Democrats are insisting that it include a DACA fix. This is USA Radio News.
Addiction. There was a day when the word addiction was just another word. If you're battling addiction, it's not easy to ask for help. It's hard to admit you really need it. Call and end addiction. Call and connect with representatives of a treatment center or rehab facility. Call and end addiction. 1-800-665-0239. Some insurance plans help pay for the cost of treatment. Be sure to check your policy or call your agent to see if you're covered. It's not easy to talk about your addictions or those of someone you care about. It's hard for you to experience. It's hard for them to watch. The first step to ending addiction starts with one free, private, and no-obligation call. Addiction. There can be a day when the word addiction is just another word again. Your life is not over. There are things you still need to do. The first thing to do is call and end addiction. 1-800-665-0239. 1-800-665-0239. 1-800-665-0239.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Let's continue on with the movie reviews. Let's talk about The Post. I've been dying to talk about this movie. And what's funny is I saw this movie over a month ago. They showed it to us right after Thanksgiving because it's an award film and they want, and I vote in three organizations. They want to make sure that it got covered. And it's kind of awkward because the movie itself didn't even open for like the New York and LA crowd until like December 22nd anyways. So we got shown this thing like almost a month before it opened in limited release. And then it's finally going wide this week. And I guess this has kind of paid off because it certainly has gotten some buzz. This is better than Phantom Thread, where they didn't show it to anybody except a couple people. And apparently that got some nominations, but they're still hiding Phantom Thread from me. The Post saw it almost a month and a half ago. And now it's finally opening wide. Steven Spielberg directs this ensemble cast in the film that tells the story of the Washington Post sticking its neck out against the Nixon administration to publish the Pentagon Papers.
So, can I ask you a hypothetical question?
Oh, dear, I don't like hypothetical questions.
Well, I don't think you're going to like the real one either.
Do you have the papers?
Not yet.
This is a devastating security breach that was leaked out of the Pentagon. The most highly classified documents of the war.
The Times says 7,000 pages detailing how the White House has been lying about the Vietnam War for 30 years.
The way they lied, those days have to be over.
I was like a toddler when this was going on. So while I lived through the 70s, I didn't live through the 70s the way a regular person did. I lived through the 70s in the sense that I wasn't even watching TV at that point. You know, I grew up watching like Sesame Street, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, Electric Company, and that sort of thing. And news breaks to me as a little kid were just annoying things that happened amid the commercials while I was waiting for the next TV show to start. But obviously this was a big deal back then. This is a lot of people, especially because I'm in my mid-40s, I'm too young to really remember this play out in real time. So there's a lot of people who are in their 40s and even younger who sort of see this Pentagon Papers, Watergate is all kind of rolling together in this giant snowball. And it did. I mean, Watergate's right on the heels of the Pentagon Papers. But there is a series of these scandal moments and these series of these of the Nixon administration butting heads with the Free Press and with other government organizations like the FBI, which is partly with the Deep Throat character, Mark Felt, which actually is coming out on Blu-ray and DVD this week, starring Liam Neeson. So while I remember seeing this and I remember the blowback of it as I grew up in the 70s and hearing people talk about the Pentagon Papers, I really wasn't in the thick of anything. So it was an interesting thing to watch because it's new history to me. And yeah, you're going to take some liberties with it. But what's important about this movie is it shows a need for a free press. It shows the need for journalists to be able to track stories for the benefit of the American people. Because there is no doubt in most people's mind that the information that was in the Pentagon Papers, which basically showed that Vietnam was not winnable, that being hidden was not in the best interest of the United States citizens, especially those that were being continually sent to war. So I'm not going to get into a debate on who's right and who's wrong. I think history has played out that the Washington Post was correct on this. And the Nixon administration overstepped some things, and some of the things that they were trying to keep secret, they really shouldn't have. And this goes not just the Nixon administration. I mean, that goes all the way back to the beginning of Vietnam. So this is the Pentagon Papers are not completely resting solely on Nixon's shoulders. There's a lot of other people who have culpability throughout this whole process. But what it shows is it also shows a White House at odds with newspapers, originally the New York Times and then the Washington Post. And this is a movie that really put the Post on the map. And of course, you have Meryl Streep playing the woman who runs the Post, who was widowed, and she is now in charge. And a lot of people are questioning her ability to run it as a woman. And you've got the editor played by Tom Hanks and the great performances and deciding what to do. And this was a pinnacle moment where they could have gone to jail. And the Washington Post could have gone out of business over this, or it became a national paper at that moment. And that's obviously what it is, because the Washington Post still exists and these people didn't go to jail. It's a very important movie because, like I said, it shows the free press. And you sit there and dissect the politics of it. I think 40 some years later, we can look back with a cleaner slate and learn from the past, as we should. And you can sit there and complain about Meryl Streep and Tom Hanks and not politically agreeing with them. Same thing with Steven Spielberg. But like I said, these are about founding principles of the country. And all that aside, this is just a really well-directed movie. It's well-paced. It's gripping. And it's not an action movie, but it really takes you from scene to scene to scene. There are moments where Spielberg swerves really close to corny. There's several moments. I'm not going to go into it. There's one in particular right at the very end where I'm just like, oh, this is almost going to get too heavy-handed and silly and corny. But he steers back. It's almost like he knows what a younger Spielberg would have done, and he comes close to that scene and then decides to show something else, which I thought was actually kind of neat. You know, I mean, this isn't Spotlight because it doesn't show the development of the story. It shows the internal paper political wrangling and legal wrangling and what they can and can't do and whether they should and shouldn't do stuff. That's, I think, what's so fascinating about it. In a world where journalism, anybody can post anything on Twitter like that, this is something that's very different, and we were in a different world back then. I'm going to have to say The Post totally rocks. It's one of the best movies of 2017, even though it's coming out in 2018.
It rocks.
Excellent!
You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Let's talk a little bit about The Commuter. Liam Neeson stars as a former cop-turned-laid-off insurance salesman who is tasked with identifying a mysterious person on his last commute from the city.
What if I asked you to do something that could profoundly affect an individual on this train?
I don't understand.
Someone on this train does not belong. All you have to do is find them.
Why would I do it?
In the bathroom, there are $75,000. That money is yours if you do this one little thing. You have until next stop to decide.
This is, of course, your very typical January Liam Neeson action movie. We seem to get one of these at least every other year. And it's something like Taken or The Gray, even something awful like A Walk Among the Tombstones. Nonstop, this was the same director, did Nonstop. He also did either The Shallows or 40.